Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Soren Petro with you. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Velocity Academy. Find them online at velocityacademy.org. Three full-length pitching and hitting tunnels, 35-foot tunnel as well. If you want to know what your curve spin rate is, want to know if you really have a 12 to 6 curve, you can go to Velocity Academy. Like I said, go online right now to velocityacademy.org. Talk to a guy who knows a little something about pitching. Brad Keller joins us here in the program. Brad, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. How different is it now for you in spring training? How different does it feel being much more established as a big leaguer?
It's definitely different, especially now, like knowing everybody in the clubhouse. I think last year that was the biggest thing, like trying to remember names and remember faces and stuff like that. So it's definitely a lot more comfortable coming into camp this year. So
what did do you know when you're in a Rule 5 spot? What are you thinking? Are you like, okay, hey, I'm here
because
they don't want to lose me. So I'm or does it put more pressure on you? Because do you put more pressure on yourself because you feel like, okay, you know, everyone's looking at me like, well, you're just here because you're yeah. Rule 5. Like what that seems like kind of an odd dynamic.
Yeah, it's definitely weird coming into camp as a Rule 5 guy, but I just try not put too much thought into, you know, like what could happen. Just try to go day by day and just try to do my best. And it's definitely weird because you kind of get the looks around the clubhouse, but you know, everyone last year took me in, like, with open arms, so it was pretty cool. But, yeah, definitely, like, you got to come into camp ready. There's no, like, kind of grace period where you have a chance of, like, getting ready in camp because you got to make a team out of camp, so.
I assume you felt like, hey, I can do this. I can be a big league starter, right? There was never any doubt. It was just a matter of what, perfecting your craft? Or did you kind of surprise yourself the way the season went last year?
I kind of surprised myself a little bit. I just, like I said, try to take it day by day, but when I came into camp, it was my first big league camp, so I didn't know what to expect, especially going into the games. And I think it was very huge that I started out in the bullpen, just kind of like short stints at a time, just like get my feet wet, like not too much, get like a ton of workload at once. So that was definitely big in helping me like develop, I guess.
When did it start to click and you go, okay? And not only are you going out there saying, I think I can get it done, you go out there saying, I know I can get it done. Is there a moment in the season where you felt like you kind of turned the corner?
Once I learned, like once the coaches and everything told me about scouting reports, I felt a lot more confident going into starts. But there's never really a time where I was like, all right, I got this. You know, I was right. I went through a stretch where I faced a lot of good teams and they kind of hit me around a little bit. So it was like that kind of proved myself. All right, I got to improve. So just kind of went back and started working with Cal and Vance and all the other coaches and just try to like. Really, you know, hone the craft and go out there every start and just get a little bit better.
It's interesting because Justin Verlander seemingly one of the best pitchers around. He'd just go blow guys away a couple of years ago. He's like, oh, I started reading the scouting reports.
Yeah.
It's amazing how those things will help. How detailed are they? I mean, like what does it say? This spot, this guy? Like how good are those scouting reports?
You know, it's all up to you, honestly, like how much information you can take in. Like, for me, like, I like to just know where I can go with my strengths and what a hitter's strengths are. So it just kind of like play like a little cat and mouse game, you know, like, see what he does with two strikes, what he does with sliders, what he does with fastballs. Like I said, I go to my best pitch is a fastball. So I'm going to go with what he can do with a fastball and then just, you know, try to dissect him from there.
Are you a stat guy? Are you into the numbers?
No, not at all.
Are you a spin rate? We were talking about that.
No, not really. No. I don't really know any of that information. I'm not like, I just try to go out there and you know, just basically go. I guess I'm a little bit of the old school type. I haven't really bought into all the analytics stuff just yet. But, I mean, it's definitely helpful, all the stuff that they've thrown at us. I mean, it's really cool to, you know, that we have the technology to break down stuff like that. And, you know, we had it on our bullpens the other day and like to really, you know, focus in on our hand, like a release point and everything. It's really cool to see.
We're talking to Brad Keller here in the program, Royals starting pitcher. Tell me, one of the things that I thought was really impressive is for such a young guy, you pitch, right? You don't just throw. A lot of guys will come up and just try to blow people away with stuff. Not that you don't have stuff, right? You don't get to the big leagues without having, you know, the ability. Trust me, I'm not grabbing a bat against you. But have you always been that way? Have you always been kind of a cerebral type of pitcher and had more of that art of pitching versus just throwing?
I felt like I have, but I didn't really grasp the concept until last year. And like I said, Skyring Porch was a huge, huge help to that. But, you know, when I was coming up through the minor leagues, I always thought, like, I could go out there and just, like, kind of go through the game, not really knowing hitter, just kind of, like, going through, like, a certain sequence and then mixing up here and there. And then I realized last year that you can't get away with that. Like, hitters are good, and they know what you're going to do to them. So last year I really kind of grasped the concept of pitching and try to, like, take off with that.
Did the organization push you there, or was it like, hey, if I'm going to make this go, this is what I got to do? Like, you found your way to it because it was a necessity.
I think it's definitely the organization did. Because whenever I was in the bullpen, I tried to, you know, kind of come out and just try to throw as hard as I could, I guess. And I remember after I had a really rough road trip, I think I gave a few runs in Toronto and then gave up a walk-off bomb in Detroit. And as soon as I came in, Dale Swain, our bench coach, grabbed me and he was like, hey, like, I'm gonna teach you some stuff. And so he taught me, and then just working with Cal and Vance from then on was just really kind of helped me a ton. So I think, honestly, the organization's the one that really taught me how to pitch.
Any of the veteran guys, Ian Kennedy, Danny Duffy, they've been around the block a few times. Is there anything you take away from them, or did they come over and give you anything besides carry my bags? Any wisdom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were a huge help last year. I mean, even, you know, throwing to Salvi, you know.
Sure.
You know, he's seen these hitters for the last, I don't know, it's, 8 years now, I guess, or 6 years. I don't remember what it is, but yeah, I mean, just Ian was a ton of help just because of how many, especially when I got into the rotation, like just how many starts he's had under his career. Like, he just basically told me, you know, how it goes and like adjustments you got to make and preparation and all that stuff with your body. And so they're both really, really big help to me. So
what is it like throwing to Salvi? What are his strengths? What do you really enjoy with him back there?
He's a big target. So steals a lot of strikes and I love when the runner gets on because I know that they're not going to go anywhere because Salvi's going to throw them out. So that's the best part.
Yeah, it does. It does make it nice.
Yeah. You know,
how do you like your pickoff move?
I don't really have a great pickoff move, so I basically really rely on Salvi being Salvi, basically. I basically just try to keep him close and mix up my holds and stuff and almost dare him to go because, you know, we've got a gold glover behind the plate with a great arm. So.
Yeah. Well, and that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pitch to your strengths.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the chemistry like in the clubhouse? Because this is the next wave, right?
Yeah.
And we as a city watched the previous wave come all the way through and head towards a world championship. We kind of did it not knowing if they were going to get there. Right?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of frustrating times. I remember for Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer when they would have struggles, fans like, oh, here we go again, because they've been losing for so long. It's different now, though, with a championship flag out there. It's different in the sense that there's a belief that this organization knows what they're doing because they've proven it. But I would think it's also different because there's a little pressure, right?
Like, yeah.
We know it can be done, so we're waiting on you guys to do it. Do you feel that? In that clubhouse, do the players feel that?
Absolutely. I definitely think the second half last year kind of gave us a lot of hope, especially that September when we, you know, our winning month in September when we have a bunch of young guys, like sub-3-year guys in the clubhouse, and I felt like everyone kind of came together and we were like, all right, well, we've kind of proven that we could win here. Now let's just put it, you know, put a 6-month season, 7-month season together and let's do it the whole time. And I mean, I definitely think the vibes in the clubhouse are like really good right now, and everyone's like excited to get going, really anxious. So I mean, we're really excited and I'm like ready to get going.
What do you think when Salvi says you're number one?
Oh, man.
I don't know if you know, but that quote went around.
Yeah, I heard.
What was your reaction when you heard that?
I mean, it's really cool. It's a really cool honor to hear from Salvi, but, you know, there's a ton of talent in the clubhouse, and we're all kind of, like, battling for the spots and just really anxious to get going, and that's not really my decision or anything like that, so I don't really put too much thought into it.
Feels pretty good.
It's pretty awesome that he said that, no doubt, but like I said, there's a ton of guys in the clubhouse worthy of it. So,
and if you look at the rotation, one of the reasons why I think a lot of people are kind of bullish, I read, you know, Buster Olney said, I think 69.5 wins is the Vegas betting total, and he's one of his things he wrote is the Royals over. And he's like, that's one of the strongest things. He thinks that he's very bullish on the Royals being better. And one of the reasons is that starting rotation. You know, you and Jacob Junis. Jacob has more time than you, but mm-hmm. not a lot of time. But every one of the at least the four guys, all five, even if you project out Lopez, and I know there's yeah. other guys in that mix, mm-hmm. have had really strong stretches. If you are all can be what you are at your best for most of a season, right? Everybody has ups and downs.
Yeah.
This is a really good rotation. I mean, do you guys feel like you're kind of a well-kept secret in baseball, how good the rotation can be?
Absolutely. Like I said, the second half last year kind of proved that to us, especially that we can go out there. And we're a rotation that we kind of like challenge each other. So like one guy goes out there and puts up like six innings, one run. The next guy coming in the next day is trying to beat that, and then the next guy the next day is trying to beat that. So like the more like you kind of stack that on, next thing you know, you look back and there's 10 straight quality starts right there, and quality starts you get a chance to win the ball game. So we just try to like go out there and compete each game, and then the next guy come in and try to beat that guy. So like it makes it for a little fun in-house competition.
Absolutely.
But I definitely think we're kind of a rotation that people are not really putting too much thought into, but I think we're pretty good.
All right, I learned this from Zach Greinke many years ago. I asked him because he really didn't pitch long before he got drafted, and he always had the ability to throw strikes. I said, how is he? He said, I was blessed with the touch gene. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I can throw the baseball wherever I want to, and I can putt, and I can shoot free throws, and I got a wicked jump serve in volleyball that yeah. I find the worst kid, and I pound him with the jump serve, right? You throw strikes, right? You seem to command the baseball. Do you have the touch gene? Does that sound familiar to you, that you could always shoot a basketball, throw a football wherever you wanted, that those things, you just have that ability?
No, that's not me. my putting game, I wish I had the touch on the putting, but no, yeah. I don't really have that gene.
No, you weren't a sharpshooter basketball?
No, not at all.
No, interesting. All right, so he's wrong. Shocking. If you've ever talked to Zach, you might not be stunned that he's not a scientist, but great guy, a lot of yeah. fun. I love talking yeah. to him. We're talking right now to Brad Keller. All right, my final four quickies for you, Brad, brought to you by the KC Ortho, Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. What's your favorite crossword? I heard you talking about being a crossword fan. Do you got one that's your go-to?
The USA Today.
USA Today?
Yeah, that's probably the Wall Street Journal is way too hard for me.
New York Times?
No,
not
way too hard.
USA
yeah.
Today?
No,
okay.
USA Today, that's it.
All right, very good. Who's got the best hair in the clubhouse?
Best hair in the clubhouse? That's a tough one. Probably,
there's got to be somebody who just spends a lot of time in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
You know, 20-something-year-old guys are usually pretty good in their hair, man.
Yeah. Goody works on his hair a lot.
Okay.
Goody's pretty, yeah. He works on his hair a lot.
Okay. All right. Good to know. What's your, who's your favorite player as a kid?
John Smoltz was. Yeah.
Really?
I grew up in Atlanta and grew up, you know, yep. The early 2000s, so watching, you know, Glavin, Smoltz, and Maddox do their thing was a lot of fun.
Absolutely,
so.
And they had that same kind of competition.
Yeah.
A lot of golf, the things you were talking yeah. about. That's exactly what I was thinking about was those guys
yeah.
Down in Atlanta. And who was your biggest influence in baseball? Did you have a coach, a relative, anybody? Who was your biggest?
My parents were, honestly. They I think they put the just amount of pressure on me, but, like, they knew when to back off and stuff like that. So they always forced me and my brother both into sports when we were really young, and didn't really I grew up playing both football and baseball, and so they were very influential in that, and like they played sports all through their little league and into college and everything, so like they helped out a ton on that, and you know, just the preparation and the mindsets
sure.
and stuff. So I never really had any other thought other than sports in my life. So they definitely were probably the biggest influence.
That's amazing. Hey, Brad, thanks so much for the time. It's great getting a chance to talk with you. Stay healthy, and we look forward to seeing you back at KC.
Thank you. I appreciate it.